Welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Alan, and as always, I'm here with Trent, and we are excited to be able to come to you today. As you're listening to this episode, you're probably right. I'm getting ready for a crazy Tuesday in our nation as we head to the polls and vote for presidents and governors and senators and representatives and all those kinds of things. And so as we approach this, we know that someone is either going to be leaving kind of the public eye, and that happens to all of us at some point in time. We kind of all leave a position. So Trent, tell us a little bit about what we're going to talk about today and why we're going to talk about that.
Okay. What you just said is a good segue into this, because we're going to talk about leaving. Recently, I had a pastor friend that was asked to leave his church. Very surprising, and I think heartbreaking for the family. But this got me to thinking, Alan, how would I leave my church, and how could I make it the best possible exit, not only for my church, but also for my family? And we want to talk to you today then about how to exit gracefully.
Yeah, you know, Trent, I think all of us at some point in time have probably had that little moment where we thought, well, I just want to leave, and this is how I want to leave it. And usually those feelings are probably not the feelings we want to go with in that moment, is it?
No. Yeah, because especially if somebody's really torqued you off, you know, and you just want to tell them all, you know, and get up in the pulpit on Sunday morning and just let her rip, you know. That's probably not going to be the best exit. And we know that there will be some folks that do leave ministry altogether in this next year. I know that Barna and them, they're saying that, you know, that there will be quite a few people they're expecting will leave ministry, and a lot of churches will actually close their doors. But we want you, and the reason we want to talk about this today is to give you some things to think about to make it a positive experience for your church.
That's right. That's right. Because we're all, well, not all. I guess there's a handful of people who will go and serve in a ministry and serve that ministry their entire life. But that is certainly the rarity. At some point in time, we're all going to leave our ministry position. And that can come in a lot of forms. You know, you mentioned your friend. They were asked to leave their church. But sometimes you leave because you've been led to another position. You and I have both been in that situation as well.
Yes, that's right. And it's no matter what, it's kind of hard, and it's heart-wrenching to some extent. So we'll talk about that and how to handle that.
Yeah. So what do we want to do? I mean, what is the goal as we move from one position to another, whether that's us being asked to leave or if we are moving to another position? What do we want to do? What is the end result that we want to leave with that church?
Well, Alan, I think the first thing is, and this is sometimes it's not the first thing that comes to mind, but it should be the first thing that we act toward and aim toward, is to glorify God. That's our calling. Whether we're angry at the situation or we're not, we're still called to glorify God. And that needs to be our first goal in all that we do, especially as we're moving to another position or leaving our church.
And we understand that there's a lot of emotion that goes into all of this. But, you know, when we are in ministry, we have to recognize that sometimes there are people who can be wrong, and churches can be wrong, and they can become stiff-necked people. And maybe part of glorifying God is that you were gonna stay in there and fight longer, and God says, no, I don't think I'm gonna get you out of there and get you to something else. And so remember that God is still ultimately on the throne, and that he is definitely in control. We also want to provide a good witness to our community, don't we?
Yeah, you know, in scripture, Jesus said that if he would be lifted up, he would draw all people to himself. And so that's still the goal. He has that church where it's at on purpose for a purpose. And so, you know, you want the future of that church to do well and for people to come to Christ And so I think, you know, you want to protect the witness of in your, you know, to your community. And that means also that you're protecting the witness of the church. You may not be there and you may be even be hurt, but you don't want to keep somebody from coming to Christ because you wanted to air your dirty laundry and tell people off. That just doesn't come. That's not a good deal.
Right, right. Our witness is a big deal, and we need to remember that people are always watching us. We may be even in a situation where we think no one cares or no one really is watching, but they are watching. And the better that we handle things at the end, the better taste that's going to leave in people's mouth. We don't want to leave a bitter aftertaste. You know, it's not like a diet drink here. We want to leave we want to leave a good taste in our community's mouth, in our churches, in our church's mouth. We also want to protect the witness of our family because hopefully they're going with us.
Yes, absolutely. You hope that they're going with you. And that makes me think, Alan, I've been studying in Titus, and Titus chapter 2, you know, Paul is writing to Titus, and he's telling him, you know, these different groups, older men, older women, younger men, slaves, all these different people, and almost all of them, he encourages them to live in such a way that the community or people outside would have no excuse to come against them because of what they've seen. And so that to me talks about the witness of me personally, of my family, of my church, so that the community would not be pushed away from Christ, but instead drawn closer to Christ.
Yeah, you know, I think about it. When I think about that, I think about what Job had gone through. And, you know, his wife comes to him, you know, you still maintain your integrity, curse God and die. And he refused to do that. I think we all get to a place sometimes in ministry, especially for those who've been asked to leave, where, you know, I think it's easy to let our witness fall, or there's going to be someone in the household who's weaker in their faith in that moment. And it's important to try to rise above that, as hard as it may be. We do want to protect our witness and protect our family's witness. So, you know, when you're leaving, and it doesn't matter if the circumstances are good and exciting or if they're negative, prayer becomes the most important thing that we have to go for us.
Yeah, Alan, you want to continue to grow closer to God. He's going to be the one that helps you, carries you through the situation, whether it's positive or negative. And so, especially if it's negative, though, you want to pray that God would give you the grace and mercy that He has. You know, you think about all that God has forgiven each and every one of us. And so we want to have that same attitude as Christ Jesus has. And so pray and pray and pray some more for God to give you that grace and mercy like He has. And then, Alan, this really hit me, is that I would need to pray for my successor. If I was in that situation, wouldn't it be important for us to pray for the next guy?
Right. Absolutely. You want to pray for that next person. You want to set the church up for success. You want the church and God's kingdom to move forward. And so, yes, pray for that person who will be stepping into your shoes and into that role. And they need that. They need to know that they're supported by you. You want them to be able to pick up the phone and just talk with you. You want to have a good relationship with those who come after you. You don't want it to be, you know, kind of hard feelings. And I wish we were better at that. You know, I realize that I probably could have reached out better to some of the pastors in other churches that I've pastored, could have been closer to some of them. And I wish I had been, those who were before and those who were after, because I think those relationships are important. And again, if you set those things up too, you know, when your church has a 25th anniversary or 50th anniversary or 150th anniversary, you want them to feel good about inviting you back. And so part of that is praying for that successor who's going to step in.
Yeah, you do want them to be successful in the future because, again, you want your that church to be able to have the opportunity to bring people to Christ. And so, you know, pray for them. And it made me think about, too, as you were talking about the, you know, the anniversaries to come and the years to come. I've also seen, you know, to where the church is always complaining and saying, gosh, I wish we had so-and-so back. And honestly, you know, that's a, that feels good to begin with. But as you think about that church, it's not good because it's not healthy for them to have this hanging on to the guy who left. And so we want to pray that, that God would make that person that follows after us to be so successful that they're not wanting us to come back. I mean, yeah, we all want to be welcomed back and like, oh, you are the best one we've ever had. But that just means that that church is not healthy afterwards.
Yeah, that's a that's an important thought. And that's a great thought. I'm glad you brought that one up because I don't think that's something we often think about. I think we all kind of want to leave somewhere and go, man, we were the best they ever had. They're going to be, you know, they're going to rue the day they asked me to leave, or they're going to rue the day that I got to go somewhere else. And that's really just not a healthy place for us to be. It's human, but it's not healthy. And so we want to, we certainly want to be able to do that. And of course you want to be praying too about your transition, and you want to pray for your transition and what's going on in your transition, because you want to start well in your next venture. And so prayer is just important in everything that we're doing along the way.
That is so true, Alan. And so not only do you need to be praying, but I think, and this is, this actually, this next thing is, was a suggestion of my daughter, Jackie, and she's in ministry too. And so she suggested that you have a group of people like a cohort that aren't necessarily in your church there, but people that you've known over the years that you trust that can join you in that prayer and maybe talk you through some things that you haven't considered before you, so that you can vent to them and not to your church.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. And I'm glad she brought that one up because we all need someone to talk to. And, you know, Trent, as you were kind of working through this, you had said the first thing that we've got to do, especially if we're asked to leave, is address the hurt in our heart. And I think that can even be true when you're moving on. You know, sometimes we let hurts compile up, but we've got to deal with the hurts before we can move on in a healthy way. And addressing that can be really hard because you don't want to address it inside the church. You're going to have to address that with people outside the church. There are organizations that help. There are pastor friends who can be a sounding board. There are people who can help you deal with that hurt, but you've got to deal with that hurt before you're going to be able to move forward in a healthy manner.
And I guess I'm not just saying this because my wife is a counselor, but I think you should always look into seeing a counselor. And your state convention typically has somebody that they can point you to, you know, or you may know somebody. And, you know, to me, Alan, it's kind of sad that churches typically are not a safe enough place for ministers to deal with hurts. Typically, you have to go outside of your church and sometimes outside of your area to find somebody that you trust enough to do that.
Yeah, I think that is truly, truly an important matter for us to consider. And you know, Trent, as we are kind of moving through this, there's a little bit of part of this that you know I've been thinking about, because last week I informed, as we're recording this, the week before this, I have informed my cross country team that this is my last year of coaching, and so you know that was hard. I told my athletic director a while back, but we decided the best time to tell our students was after our season ended. And so, you know, we have those matters in churches too. You know, when should you tell? Who should you tell? When should you tell? You know, how long do you stay once you've told? All those kinds of things. So why don't we talk about those questions just a little bit?
Okay. Yeah, let's do. I think that those are important. And sometimes, you know, we struggle with that. You know, when should you tell who? And so when you're led to leave, this may not always apply to when you're asked to leave, but when you're led to leave to go to another ministry position, who is it that you want to tell first? And I would suggest to you that that should, if anybody, that should be just one or two people. If there's somebody maybe on your ministry staff that you trust, that you want them to know first. But I don't know, Alan, what do you think about that? How do you think that that's the best way to handle that?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is, what does your structure say? You know, and you need to look at your church structure and how that's set up. You know, I would first go to my staff and I would talk to them, but I would want to do that on a day when I was planning to talk to in our organization. I would need to inform my leadership board, and so I would want to tell my staff first because I work closest with them, and then that very same day. Be able to tell my leadership team. And then I would again ask them to not share that with the church so that I can have the honor of sharing that with the entire church in person. And so, you know, that's how I would handle it. You know, it's going to leak out. If you put too much time in there, it's going to leak out. So, you know, those things need to come in fairly rapid succession.
Yeah, Alan, I think you're right, because you know that it is going to leak out. It doesn't, and people, you know, whether that's just because they're sad or they're happy, I don't know, but it's always going to get out. And so you're right. If you don't have it like the next day, you know, telling your staff and people Saturday and then say, hey, tomorrow morning, I'm telling the church this, but I wanted you to know first. You know, it's hard because you don't want rumors and rumors can get huge and spread, and you want to be in control of the message. And so it's important that you do that, like Alan said, in quick succession.
Now, one difference on that, and we might mention this, is someone who's been there a really long time and is planning to retire. That's a little bit of a different circumstance than just moving to another ministry or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so, you can certainly have a plan, an exit plan, for retirement or something like that, that is a lot longer. We're talking about a specific instance when you are changing ministries and you feel a pull to, a different ministry. So that last question in there is, how long should you stay after you tell them you're leaving? A lot of pastors want to say, oh, you know, I could stay another 3 months. And no, you can't. Mm-mm. No, you cannot. No. The very second you let people know you're gone, you have become a lame duck, and your leadership diminishes immensely. And it goes down in multiplying increments every week you're there. And so, you know, I think if you're there a month afterwards, that's probably the absolute maximum you should be there.
That, I think you're right, Alan. And another reason for that is because you're keeping them from moving forward in searching for the next pastor or whatever ministry position that they're going to be looking for. And so the longer you stay, the longer that they're going to drag their feet in putting together the, you know, the committee or whatever that's going to be looking for that next person. And, you know, it just prolongs the inevitable.
Yeah, it's leaving is hard. It's painful. It's emotionally painful. It's painful mm-hmm. for you. It's painful for them. And at some point in time, you got to rip the Band-Aid off of it and just, you got to make that decision. You kind of got to go. When you say you got to go, you mm-hmm. got to go. And so, mm-hmm. so go. So, you know, what about, preaching? You know, you're going to have a final message or two, going in mm-hmm. there. Cause a lot of pastors, especially if you've not been in the church a real long time, you're only going to be there a couple weeks after. So what do you preach about in those exiting moments?
Yeah, I think this is important that you put some thought into this. And just like Alan, you mentioned just a little bit ago, there are hurts that kind of build up over time. And even if you're leaving to go to another ministry position, it would be tempting for you to bring up all the bad things that people have done to you over the years. And I don't think that this is the time to do that. You got to keep in mind that not everyone in that church that's listening to you has hurt you. And so you don't want to push them away from this body of Christ.
Yeah, I think that's important. Don't make it your laundry list of things. And remember, again, about your witness in the community, there are going to be some people that you knew who the best way they know to respect you is to show up to your last service. And they might not even be a regular attender of the church, but they cared about you and they liked you. And so you want to remember that there are people, and it's kind of your last chance to say something good to them about a good God. And so you certainly want to be able to do that. So be gracious, point to the goodness of God, be an encourager, don't just do the things that encourage people to know that they're going to get through this time as well as you. You're both going to get through this time.
Yeah, Alan, and I think, to me, it's so important that we become at that point, and that's why you don't want to drag out this whole, months and months thing. You want to have a short period of time where you become the cheerleader for your church. You want to be the one that's saying, you guys can do this. God's still good. He's still in control. And he's placed you here to do some amazing and mighty works. And so keep moving forward. And I know the person that's coming after me is going to do even greater things. And you guys are going to do amazing. And I look forward to hearing great reports, stuff like that. You want to be able to say to your church to prop them up, encourage them, and keep them going and moving forward.
But you're not done when you preach that final message. There's a few other things that you need to consider as well. What are some of those things that you think should be considered, Trent?
Yeah, I was putting together this list of things that I think would be important. And one of the first things I think, Alan, would be to make a list of things that need to be done or covered. Remember, you're putting in place in that list, putting in place things for the church people to say, okay, these are things that our pastor or ministry staff person has been doing, and we want to make sure that those things keep getting done. So make a list of things that need to be done every week so that they are, make sure that they're covered.
Yeah. And one of those things might even be helping them find an interim pastor or a supply list of preachers, because they don't know where to go to get that stuff. So make sure that you've got some of those important things, for them. So one of the things, and I've been blessed to have this, where some people let me know where some important things and important church documents were that proved to be a blessing to help me find those things.
Yeah, it's, being able to leave a notebook, of, hey, here's the articles of the church or the important paperwork, I just went blank. I'm having a senior moment, Alan. We're too old.
Yeah, your constitution, your bylaws, your church budget, all those kinds of things you want to have readily accessible for someone.
Right. Yeah. Also, I think it would be good to put together a list of important people, not just in the church, because they'll find those things out. They'll be told those things. But how about important people in the community? Who's the funeral director? And I remember when I moved to Colorado and it was like pretty quick that I had to do a funeral. And first of all, that was my first funeral ever to do. And, Dan Bauke, he's an amazing funeral director, and bless his heart, he had to lead me by the hand. But, making a list of those people who are the community leaders, the important folks that they should get to know, I think are important.
Yeah, those things can certainly help. And then, of course, you want to make sure you get your stuff out of the office and that you leave it cleaned and ready to go for the next person. Don't leave a lot of junk in there. And, you know, I've been the recipient of a lot of stuff I didn't want in the past. And so, yeah. You know, clean it out, prepare it, get it ready for the next person.
Yeah. Again, we want you to, whether it's being asked to leave or you're feeling led by God. And as always, if you choose to go someplace else, it needs to be led by God, because we want you to be successful and endure. But, you know, keep in mind that, again, God is the one who created the church that you're in now, and he has placed them there to be a light for him in that community. And so you want to leave in such a way that they would be encouraged in the future, and to help them to be prepared to do great things. And so keep praying for them, even if you've been hurt. This is a great time to show the character of Christ and pray for them to do great things. And one of the things, Alan, I just thought of, I don't know, this would be super hard, but if there's somebody that you have a broken relationship, maybe that has left the church, it might be a good time for you to go and ask forgiveness or give forgiveness to those people before you leave town.
Certainly, you can certainly do that. And that would be just a healing process, not only in your life, but in their life as well. You know, we've all gone back to churches where, you know, you thought you left everything in good shape, and you go back and you see someone who oh man, you know, we were never that strong, close, or had that great of a relationship. And so you want to eliminate as much of those awkward things as you can. And sometimes you didn't know. I mean, that's just the reality of it. But yes, anything you can do to make as much right and leave as much good as you can, make sure you do that. And so, you know, again, you know, I know as you're listening to us today, you may be thinking about a ministry change, and we hope this helps you out. We know that the world doesn't handle things gracefully. We don't know how this week is going to play out politically, but we do know that God's on the throne. We do know that the church will endure, and that ministries will rise, ministries will fall, and that our seasons in ministry will change. And so we want to make sure that we exit gracefully. And so, Trent, we have been blessed to share this time with people. And I hope that we will remember we all need to pray a lot, whether we're leaving or staying. We need the prayer right now.
You're absolutely right, Alan. And we want to encourage you. And one of the ways that we want to join with you is if you're needing help in prayer, please contact us. You can go to enduringchurches.com. You can also go to our Facebook page at Enduring Churches. We want to be there and be part of your encouragement team. And maybe we can point you to one of our previous episodes, or we can come and be with you and walk with you through things that you're dealing with. And so please contact us. Let us be part of that encouragement for you.
Again, we thank you for joining us on the Enduring Churches podcast, and we look forward to having you back with us next week. We're going to talk some practical things about preaching. So we look forward to seeing you next week. Please share this with someone else in ministry.